Modern slavery doesn't shout, it whispers. Slavery secretly thrives in some corners of the world where in other places it is a blatant reality. There are an estimated 27 million slaves in the world today. For more on the reality of modern slavery and the battle for global abolition, we have Jolene Smith, who's the co-founder of the Free the Slaves Foundation. It aims to end slavery across the globe. And James Kofi Annan, a former slave from Ghana who received the foundation's Frederick Douglass Award for his work against slavery. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, James, you lived through being in bondage. Tell us about your childhood in Ghana and what you went through.
Well, I was 6 years when I was trafficked to a fishing community called Yeji in Ghana. And the fishing community basically is engaged in fishing activities, and you have to work like an able-bodied person, very hard working. You wake up around 3 a.m. and then sleep sometimes after 8 p.m. all working on the river. You are physically abused, sexually abused, and all the kind of diseases that goes with it. So this is basically what children in the Yeji area in Ghana goes through, and now I was no exception. I also went through almost the same thing, being abused constantly, denying food, and then shelter is very poor, medical access is very poor. You don't even have medical access at all. When you are sick, you have to leave and survive.
Jolene, I met a man who was a former slave once, just in the course of going about a trip. He told me about his childhood and just the pain in his voice because he was sold by his parents. Mm-hmm. How often is that a part of the story, that that parents or a relative will sell a child?
It's uncommon. What's more common is that a family will be in completely dire straits. A trafficker walks up and says, "Look, ma'am, sir, your child is starving. You can sit here and watch your child starve, or you can take a chance and send your child with me. And I will, yes, I will make the child work during the day, but he or she will go to school in the afternoon. They will get three meals a day. They'll be treated well, and then I will pay them." And sometimes, many times, unfortunately, this actually is a complete dupe, and the children are enslaved and never see their families again.
What other kinds of slavery exist, both in other countries and in the U.S.?
The vast majority of slavery around the world happens in agriculture and mining, and then after that, domestic servitude and forced prostitution. We find slaves in industries that are dirty, difficult, and dangerous. They're the types of jobs that that people wouldn't necessarily like to do unless they were forced to do them, or where people are so isolated that they're more easily enslaved.
James, from your perspective, having lived through this, what do you think it will take to end slavery?
Education is key in ending slavery, because if a child knows it's right, it will be difficult for you to manipulate him or her. If the child is in school, it will be difficult for you to pluck him out of school and then put him in a slavery situation. So education is very important. Apart from that, in Africa, women are custodians of children. More or less, they take care of children. So if women are empowered to know their right to have some economic gains and so on and so forth, it will be difficult for anybody to exploit their children. Apart from that, I also believe that though there are laws and legislations, the laws must work. The laws must be enforced.
Jolene, how do you do it? How do you end slavery? What are your plans as an organization?
One of the key components is raising awareness, because many people in the United States don't realize that it exists. Or they may have read an article about sex trafficking, but don't realize that it encompasses that, but goes far beyond it as well. One of our efforts is actually happening with the Freedom Awards. James is one of the winners. And the Freedom Awards, we're partnering with the John Templeton Foundation to make this happen. It's really highlighting the story of freedom, of the transcendence of the human spirit. And these winners have come out of slavery, are fighting slavery in their own communities, and they're proving day after day that it is possible, not just freedom, but lasting freedom. also, we have a lot of work to do in our own country. And in the U.S., we have a lot of power to do that. So once people are made aware, they can be in touch with their congressperson. We do have a law against human trafficking, but it needs to be reapproved every couple of years. This is one of those years. And we need for people to call their senators, call their congressmen, and say that ending slavery is important to them. They do not want to have slavery in their backyards.
How do you intend to work not only with people who are at the highest risk, but also someone like James now? He's gone on to school. He's got kids who are in university. Is there work that you have to do between building bridges between people who may be from one country like Ghana, who may feel more secure and embarrassed about noticing or knowing that there's slavery in their country? I mean, I certainly know here in the U.S. there are a lot of things we get embarrassed about when they're pointed out. How do you deal with that factor?
That is the right human response. We should be shamed. We should be shamed, but not frozen. It's really important to learn what's going on at the grassroots, to see what James is doing, and people like James who are sprouting up around the world, who are getting people out of slavery every day. What we need to be sure of is that we keep those voices at the forefront of this anti-slavery movement, and that they are really sharing their knowledge with us, and that groups like ours in the United States can link that up, translate that into effective policy priorities that we push before the U.S. government, before the international financial institutions like the World Bank. Yes, we can encourage the World Bank to make sure that any loans and programs that they have are working against slavery and not inadvertently increasing slavery.
Let me go back to the whole issue of what our part is. James, you started a program in 2003. Tell me what it's called and what you do.
Challenging Heights was founded to create a platform to create awareness about the existence of child slavery, and also to provide services to children who are at risk, and to try and care for children who are victims of child slavery. If you have been abused before, if you've gone underground for minutes, if you've been hit, if you've been bitten by snakes, if you've gone through what I have gone through before, you would understand why I want to dedicate my life, my entire life, to the cause of freeing children. You would understand why I'm doing that. Here I am, somebody who was enslaved at the age of 6 and escaped at the age of 13, and having gone through a degree program, worked in the bank, and currently having my master's degree, it shows that there are a lot of talents that we are wasting down there. So my organization, Challenging Heights, is basically to try and bring hope to children who are at risk, to try and prevent child slavery, and to try and care for children in school, especially because I believe that education is paramount in the end to child slavery.
Well, I just want to thank you both so much, James, for telling us that and for telling us your story overall. And Jolene, thank you as well.
Thank you very much.
We were speaking with James Kofi Annan, founder of Challenging Heights and recipient of the Free the Slaves Frederick Douglass Award, also Jolene Smith, co-founder of the Free the Slaves Foundation. They both joined me at the studios of NPR West.